Hey, welcome back to Table Talk. Again, this is your healthy theological radio addiction. I'm your host, Pastor Brent Kuhlman. I read in the first part of our program today, I read Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, the baptism of our Lord. Again, I'm taking a break from the pastoral epistles to do this because this is one of my favorite texts to teach and one of my favorite texts to preach from, and I hope it's quite edifying for you. So I was saying, based upon the text, Mark 1, verses 4 through 11, you've got John's baptism is for who? What did I say? It's for sinners. It's a washing of repentance, and it's for the forgiveness of sins. It's what the text says, baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so you've got sinners who come to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And the text says that they're confessing their sins. Now, you see, this is the Holy Spirit at work when people are finally telling the truth about themselves, when they confess that they are sinners and that they've sinned. This is a miracle. You know, we live in America where you've got all these mega churches and these pastors that talk about miracles. Well, I got news for you. Come to Trinity Lutheran Church, and you'll see a miracle every Sunday when people tell the truth. The Holy Spirit is at work through His Word, through the Word of the law, and sinners finally tell the truth and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. And then these sinners, based upon another Word of God, a Holy Spirit-filled Word of God, the Gospel, they beg the Lord to forgive them for the sake of Jesus Christ, only for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the pastor, the Lord's instrument, the Lord's mouth put there, will say, yep, the Lord sent me to tell you that He died for you and rose for you and all your sins are forgiven. And then he formally says, I forgive you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember Luke 10:16, Jesus sends the preachers. When the preachers preach the truth, Jesus says, he who hears you hears me. Paul, remember in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. Okay. So this is really important. Now, so John's baptism is an absolution, if you will. It's a washing from sin. So in his camel hair clad person, John prophetically points to a mightier one. Remember? One whose sandals he's not worthy to stoop down and untie. And so in his baptism, John pointed to yet a greater baptism. And I'll say more about that later. But the text, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's our Lord's baptism. One that would bring down the Holy Spirit in fullest measure, if I can talk like that. And so this baptism that is meant for sinners, this sinner's bath, if you will, Jesus comes to take. This is what it means for Jesus to be humbled. Remember Philippians 2? He humbled himself. This is part of his humbling. This is his state of humiliation, as the theologians like to call it. When Jesus is obedient to the law, obedient even to death, death on a cross. Again, let's repeat. When Jesus shows up at the Jordan River, Jesus has no sins to confess. There's no stain of sin that needs to be washed clean. Jesus, since he's not a sinner and has never sinned, there is no need for him to repent. And yet, Jesus willingly submits to John's baptism, and more than that, he sought it out. I mean, he looked for it. In fact, Jesus demanded it. Matthew's account, let it be so, for we will fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus compels John to do it. Even when John said in Matthew's account, I can't do this. There's no way I can't do this. Jesus says, yes, you will. All right. So Jesus comes. Here's the important point I want to make. He comes to the Jordan to be the least among us. He comes as the servant of all. Here, God in the flesh, in His Son, reaches all the way down to His fallen creatures. And He does this, God does this through His Son. Remember, we had hints of this already at Christmas with His lowly birth, the poverty of the manger crib. And so here at the baptism in the Jordan, we see Christ again, His humility, but we see it in a brighter light, if you will. Jesus lowers Himself to be baptized. Now listen carefully. Jesus here lowers Himself to be baptized as a sinner. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah, I said that, and I mean it. As a sinner. The Lord of all here becomes the servant of all. The sinless one now stands with sinners in the water of the Jordan. There's a great collusion going on here. Jesus is now colluding not with the Russians, but he colludes with sinners and all their sin, and he takes it and says, it's all mine. I'll say more about that in a minute. Let's talk, you know, I use the analogy of collusion, you know, because that's all the talk, you know, these days on TV, and you know where that's going, of course, but I just wanted to steal that kind of language there for a second. Let's use another analogy to describe what's going on here. I think it's a better one. Let's talk about a bath. Now, in the old days, before there were, you know, there was indoor plumbing, and there are still some people alive who, you know, in our country churches who grew up where there was no indoor plumbing. And so when they had to take a bath, usually they took a bath on Saturday night before they went to church, you know, and if you've got a large family with a lot of kids and you're the last one to get in the bath water, imagine then when mom or grandmother said, okay, now it's your turn. And maybe dad had already taken a bath, you know, and he'd come in from the field. And you know what dad looks like when he comes in from the field, filthy mess. So imagine grandma or mom says, okay, it's your turn. Imagine taking that bath. And you've got to take a bath in somebody else's bath water. And, you know, this is for a lot of people, this is what? Well, not for a lot. For all of us, it's disgusting. You know, who would do such a thing? Because, you know, we're obsessed with cleanliness, no germs, etc. You know, we don't want to catch anything from that dirty bath water. You know, pardon my way of talking here, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to dare to say it. You know, we won't even share a cup, a chalice, with our fellow Christians, much less share a common bath. But this is precisely what Jesus does in the text. The water of the Jordan, now think about this, the water of the Jordan is like that dirty bath water. Use that analogy. And so the Jordan then, because all these sinners are getting in and getting washed and cleansed, where's all their sin? Well, it's in the water. The Jordan River water is just teeming with the toxic pollution of all these sinners' sin. And so your sin, my sin, the entire sin of the world, Jesus is now beginning to take in his baptism in the Jordan. And what's he going to do? He's going to take it somewhere, isn't he? He's going to take it to Calvary. See, this is what's going on with the text. See, Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, which preaches the baptism of our Lord, isn't teaching us, well, now Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized. He was baptized as an adult. So therefore, we have to follow his example and his model, and therefore only adults should be baptized. Now, if you want to press that, then you should say you should only be 30 when you're baptized. I don't know of anybody that does that, but I mean, if I want to push the point, I think to show the absurdity of how this is sometimes taught, well, then you better wait till you're 30 then. How dare anyone be baptized, not just after you're 8 years old, but you better wait till you're 30. And it better be 30 only. See, that's not what this is all about. There is a gospel zinger here that a lot of people miss, and that's what I'm trying to teach you. So let's continue with this, if I may. Jesus goes into that sin-polluted water. It's filled with every sin that you could even imagine, every evil you could ever think of, the worst of the world's immorality, drunkenness, deceit, pride, gossip, slander, greed, coveting, anything that our sinful nature can imagine or produce, it's there. Now, keep in mind that the Pharisees, the ones who said, you know, we're good people, you know, the Pharisees and the religious hotshots of the day, they didn't get baptized. They refused to receive John's baptism. You know, they, I'm not perfect, of course, they'd say to John, but I don't need this. I'm not that bad. I'm not like these people who are getting in the water with you. So they refused to get into the water and receive this baptism for the forgiveness of sins, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. They wouldn't confess any sins. They didn't want to be seen in the same water with all these so-called prostitutes, the worst of all sinners, and the tax collectors. They didn't want to repent. They felt they had no need for it, and therefore they didn't need to be washed. Okay? But get a load of this. Jesus is not ashamed. And Jesus is not ashamed to step into the sinner's bathwater, the Jordan River. He's up to his neck, is how I like to put it. You know, he starts knee-deep, then he's hip-deep, and oh, heck, now he's up to his neck. And so Jesus stands in the water, together with the prostitutes and all the tax collectors, with all the Gentiles and all the outcasts, with you and me included. Jesus stands shoulder to shoulder in solidarity, or to use the language that everybody uses on TV, collusion with sinners. He's steeped in our sin. He's like a sponge, you see, who's soaking up all of the world's sin in his body. And so, in the baptism, the beginning of our Lord's ministry, you know, this is how we always teach this text. The baptism of our Lord is always the beginning of his public ministry. Another way to talk about it is this is when he's ordained, if you will, to do his Good Friday work and Easter Sunday work. In the Jordan, Jesus becomes, now keep in mind, he's like a sponge taking the sin of the world in his body. So therefore, even now at his baptism, you see, even now at his baptism. So his whole ministry is like this. But it begins at his baptism. Jesus then, by taking the sin of the world in his body, and he's going to take it to Good Friday Calvary, he then becomes the adulterer, the drunkard, the liar, the thief, the idolater, the blasphemer, the murderer, the homosexual, the abortionist. Jesus, remember how Scripture teaches this in 2 Corinthians 5? He who knew no sin was made to be sin. And then the text goes on in 2 Corinthians 5, so that in him, notice, in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Now, Dr. Luther, the great reformer of the church, he called what I just talked about the happy exchange, a blessed exchange. The German is Freilicher Wechsel, a sweet swap. And what is the sweet swap? Well, here it is. When Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, Jesus is taking, like a sponge in his body, he is taking up your sin, your guilt, your hellish damnation and death, and you then receive from him his righteousness, his forgiveness, his glory, his life. And let me try and say this another way. At the baptism of our Lord, Jesus in the Jordan River is the one who gets treated like the sinner so that you are then declared to be a saint. Jesus is baptized into your sin, my sin, the world's sin, and then we are all baptized into his righteousness. He's baptized into our death and damnation. We then are baptized into his life and salvation. Jesus is baptized into the curse of the law. Remember Galatians chapter 3, I think it's quoting Deuteronomy if my memory serves. Cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. Well, Jesus is going to take that sin, take it to Calvary, and he will be cursed. He will endure and take the curse that we deserve for our disobedience. And in exchange, we then are baptized into God's blessing. We're baptized into God's favor that comes only with our Lord Jesus and his perfect obedience for us all. Well, I hope this is helpful for you. I'm running out of time here. We're down to our last minute here in this second part of our study today. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to call it quits for today. And I want to continue with this because I said at the very beginning, you know, when we started this in part one, that we're going to study the baptism of our Lord so that we also learn how to treasure and rejoice and extol in our baptism as Jesus' mandate in Matthew 28. So I want to pick up on that kind of theme the next time we talk. So in the meantime, stay Lutheran, my friends.